This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, back this Wednesday with another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime, as we do every Wednesday here at RelicRadio.com. Our first show this week is from the new adventures of Nero Wolfe. We'll hear The Slaughtered Santas, his story from December 22, 1950. After that, it's The Private Files of Rex Saunders, and A Shocking Still Life, his story from May 9, 1951.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Yes? Yes, I know that in 48 hours it's going to be Christmas, but who is this? Who? Look, I'm a big boy now, so... Okay, tonight at 8. Goodbye.
What the devil was that?
This may come as a shock to you, Mr. Wolfe, but that was Santa Claus.
You've been drinking?
Uh-huh, the usual, Milk. He's coming to see you at 8. He's got a problem.
Indeed.
It seems that some low, not to mention murderous character, is going around slaughtering Santa Clauses.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolfe. Created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
It began earlier than 8, however, the case of the slaughtered Santas. It began, to be precise, on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. The hour was close to 6, the weather cold, the sky dark.
How you doing, Santa?
I'm freezing to death, officer.
It's a cold day. You packing up?
Yeah, I guess so. Not many people around anymore.
Oh, heading for home and dinner. How was the collection?
Well, I don't need no armored car, but... a few dozen kids are going to have something for their Christmas stockings.
Your competition, the guy in the opposite corner, is already screaming.
Probably got low blood pressure. Yeah, give me a hand to get the collection part off the chains, eh?
Sure, there you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'll just walk you down the block. Got to phone in.
Okay, fine.
One Santa's still left. Wonder what he's waiting for.
Santa Claus.
Well, watch yourself going down those chimneys tonight, eh?
Sure, sure. Well, I'll cut across the avenue here. Be seeing you.
Hey, that car coming down the street. Got its lights out. Look out!
Hey, Peg.
Huh?
Did I ever tell you I love you?
Oh, it's not me you love. It's a hot soup.
Ah, now you're not the only woman who can cook a dish of soup.
Huh?
It helps, though. I'm just beginning to thaw out.
Yeah, that's a cold corner you play Santa Claus on.
Well, don't hurt to make a few bucks. I ain't done so good this past year. Well, maybe the next year it'll be... oh, well. Besides, I kind of like it, you know. Kids asking questions all day long.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how they figure the other two Santas at the intersection.
Our kids think of only one thing at a time. More soup?
Sure, Pat. You know, one of their mother Santas got hit by a car tonight.
Oh?
Yeah, packed up a few minutes before I did, started crossing the avenue, and bang! You know, hit-and-run driver.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. Was he hurt?
Yes, he was killed.
Here's your soup. Oh, with traffic the way it is nowadays... well, I better take a look at the stew.
Somebody at the door. I'll get it, Peg.
Okay.
Yeah, what? Oh!
Mike!
Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
I've been thinking.
Good heavens.
Oh, I admit it won't bring about a national emergency... but, Mr. Wolfe, Christmas is only a couple of days away.
If you're hinting about your present...
No. I was just imagining you behind a team of reindeer.
Your imagination is morbid.
You'd make a wonderful Santa Claus.
Phooey.
You got the perfect build for it. Of course, as for character...
Archie.
Yeah?
Can you picture me scrambling down a chimney?
Well, they might have to build bigger chimneys, but... There's that, too. However...
That is the front door.
True. I was thinking...
You might see who it is.
Well, if nobody's been lying to me on the phone, that'll be Santa Claus.
Let him in.
But I haven't decided what I want for Christmas yet, Mr. Wolf. For example, should she be blonde or brunette, tall or short?
Archie.
On my way. Good evening.
I dislike dawdling on anyone's doorstep.
Well, stop dawdling. Come in, please.
Mr. Wolf has been warned of my arrival?
He has. Through here. Mr. Wolf, this is Santa Claus?
My name is Barton, John Barton.
How do you do, sir?
I have no time for the social graces, Mr. Wolf. I'm about to be murdered.
Heard in my house, I have objections.
I'm a frightened man, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed.
This costume you see me in is responsible for it all.
Why are you in it?
I had a notion it might be, well, entertaining to play Santa Claus in public. I'm a wealthy man, sir. I can afford to have whims. Therefore, I have assumed this masquerade. However, it apparently is going to be the death of me.
Mr. Barton, you have adequately conveyed an atmosphere and an emotion. I suggest you concentrate on facts now.
Very well. I have been acting as Santa Claus for the Tuberculosis Fund. My station is the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle Avenue. I might add the northeast corner.
Why?
Because at that intersection there have been two other Santa Clauses. One on the southeast corner and one on the southwest corner.
Three Santa Clauses, then, on three corners.
Yes. Now then, earlier tonight, the man on the southwest corner started home. He was crossing the avenue when he was run down and killed by an automobile.
A regrettable accident.
The car was running without lights. It deliberately ran the fellow down and then vanished. Not an accident, Mr. Wolf.
You saw this yourself?
I did. One Santa Claus dead. The man on the southeast corner got home all right. According to the radio news flash, that's where he was killed by bullets.
Coincidence?
Possibly, but I wouldn't want to risk my life on the chance.
This is Friday night. In the nature of things, you would have made two more appearances. Very well, Mr. Barton.
I'll write you a check as a retainer, then hurry along home. I'm late now.
No.
I beg your pardon.
You will neither hurry home nor notify anyone at your home of your whereabouts.
But
I... You remain here until such time as I think it's safe for you to leave. The house is well guarded.
I can't do that.
In which case, I cannot accept you as a client.
I fail to understand.
Mr. Barton, it is very easy to murder someone. Avoiding the consequences of such an action is something else again. However, I'm assuming that you're not primarily interested in what happens to your murderer after you're dead.
Of course not.
Therefore, you remain here. Archie?
Yep?
First, the corner of 34th and Carlisle, a complete report.
But that's nonsense. The corner will be deserted now.
Mr. Barton, you're hiring my intelligence. You therefore permit me to use it as I see fit. A complete report, Archie?
Right, sir.
You will then visit Inspector Kramer at headquarters. You will, in whatever manner you find effective, collect all the police information about the two already murdered Santas.
Fine. The manner, I think, will be applying a blowtorch to the inspector's toes.
Your levity is ill-timed.
The inspector is likely to throw me out of my ear.
Your problem.
My ear.
And on your way home, you might stop in at Mr. Barton's place.
I don't see any purpose in that.
Mr. Barton, there is a basic problem to which we must find an answer. Whether those two men were murdered because they were Santa Clauses, or because their deaths were merely preliminaries to yours. Archie, I suggest haste.
Yes, sir.
And avoid blondes.
Hmm?
I would like you to be home in time for Christmas.
Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
Got the price of a cup of coffee?
You sure you mean coffee?
Either you're gonna dig it up or you ain't. Never mind the questions about my personal affairs, see?
Oh, I apologize. Here.
2 bits. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Don't let me keep you.
You're not. 34th in Carlisle, huh? During the day filled with milling throngs. Hey, that's a nice phrase. I'll have to remember it. Milling throngs. And now desolate and deserted. Well, that's life.
Is that a fact?
That's philosophy.
Yeah? For 2 bits, I don't have to listen to no philosophy, see? Good night, bud.
Uh-oh. The inspector's got company.
If all you reporters will shut up and ask your questions one by one, I'll answer them.
Inspector Kramer, it's true a couple of Santa Clauses have been knocked off tonight?
It's true that 2 men who have been employed as Santa Claus by charitable organizations have been murdered, yes.
Any connection between those 2 guys, or does somebody just hate Santa Claus?
You know, so far as we know, there is no connection.
That means it could be maybe some kind of maniac who decided he doesn't like Christmas or Santa Claus. Is that right?
The department is investigating along those lines.
Like how?
Well, we're checking all the local asylums for possible escape lunatics.
Yeah, but Inspector, suppose this nut has never been in an asylum.
That'll be all, boys.
Oh, but listen.
I said that'll be all. Now, anything new comes in, you'll get it, understand? Hey, Goodwin.
Hello, Inspector.
Yeah, I spotted you coming in. What happened? You decided to reform and got a job on a paper?
Nope. I'm a public-spirited citizen, that's all.
Yeah, I could add a few things to that description with practically no strain at all.
Mr. Wolf and I are very sentimental about Christmas. We object to Santa Claus as being killed.
Nuts.
Oh, Inspector, aren't you in favor of Christmas?
I'm in favor of Christmas. I'm in favor of motherhood.
Leave motherhood out of this. Neither of us are mothers. Our chances of becoming mothers aren't too good either. And furthermore,
okay, okay, you're not given. So get out of here.
Thank you, Inspector.
But Goodwin, in case Wolf decides to send me something for Christmas, you know what I wish he'd send me?
What?
Your head.
Well.
Oh.
Now I know what I want for Christmas.
What did you say?
I said my name is Goodwin and it's cold on your doorstep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come in.
Mm-hmm. You didn't mention your name.
I'm Laura Barton.
Mrs. Laura Barton?
No.
Fine. That is, what relation are you to John Barton?
His niece. Why do you ask?
Oh, you've got a beautiful voice. All this marble and no butler?
I don't know where Pleasant is. He should be here.
Have him shot at sunrise.
Oh, Laura.
Wayne, this is Mr. Goodwin.
Never heard of him. What does he want?
Well, I don't know.
Wayne what?
Stevens.
Uh-huh. Friend of Mr. Barton?
Half-brother, but we seem to be doing all the answering. How about your answering some questions, Goodwin?
I'll try.
Come into the library. What do you want?
For Christmas? Erase that. I would like to see Mr. Barton.
He's not home.
Where is he?
Don't you know?
I wouldn't have come here asking for him if I did, would I?
I suppose that's true. What did you want with him?
Conversation.
About?
Anything. You see, I like to talk to rich men. Are you rich?
I can't play the piano either.
You could always learn. But being rich is harder, I found.
Mr. Goodwin, you must have some reason for coming here. Some reason concerning Uncle.
Laura, you're being imaginative.
Well, Uncle is late.
He's probably still on that street corner playing Santa Claus. He enjoys it. Why bother about what...
I don't know, except...
He's never been as late as this?
Well, no. Not since he started that masquerade of his.
Would you happen to know where the butler is?
Out getting drunk, I suspect. He was in the kitchen a little while ago. Disappeared. Pleasant likes to look on the wine when it's red, or even when it's rye. No, I take that back.
Oh, you do?
He prefers Irish whiskey. We don't stock it, therefore...
Oh, too bad. I better run along. Good night, Mr. Stevens. Miss Barton.
Good night.
I'll see you out.
Prettiest butler I ever saw. Blonde. Now, old Dr. Titmouse always said, beware of blondes because...
Mr. Goodwin, I...
Well, I'm waiting.
Well, I... Mr. Goodwin, you must know something about Uncle, something you didn't want to tell us.
Makes you think so.
Well, otherwise, your visit was just pointless.
Let's suppose I know. Now, I might be a kidnapper.
Oh, no.
My honest brown eyes.
Your first name is Archie, isn't it?
Archie? Archie Goodwin. Goes together nicely, don't you think?
You work for Nero Wolfe. You're going back to him now?
I might be, but then again, I might be going to the movies.
I recognized you. Your pictures have been in the papers. Take me with you to see Mr. Wolf. You can trust me.
I never trust blondes.
Oh, that's unfair.
Well, no, I don't trust brunettes either. Furthermore, I'm not sure Mr. Wolf would want to see you, so I...
So?
So why don't you, trail me home, hmm?
Archie? Where's Santa Claus?
Guest room. He was tired.
I've been trailed home.
Indeed?
By a blonde.
Phooey.
All right, I admit I didn't make any strenuous effort to shake her off, but she trailed...
Where is she?
Outside.
Good. Your report.
Oh, but she might freeze to death out there.
That's her problem. Your report, Archie.
It's short and simple.
It would be simple.
I haven't got time to resent that. A blonde is dying. As for the report... Corner of 34th and Carlisle is a very quiet spot at night. No one was around, but a bum who got into me for a quarter. For coffee, he said.
You will not put that quarter on the expense account.
Stop worrying. That was a private gesture. There were four corners. Corner number one had a dress shop on it. Corner number two, a drugstore with a beautiful redhead in the window making with a hair rinse. The ad said her name was Noreen, but it didn't give her phone number.
Archie.
Third corner was devoted to a shoe store, and the fourth corner had a bank on it.
A bank?
Kind of thought we'd have a pause at that point. Mean something?
Inspector Kramer's information consisted of...
Oh, you're being coy. Kramer furnished the information the police could find no connection between the two murdered Santas.
Except for the fact that they were both playing Santa Claus.
Well, isn't that a little on the obvious side?
This is an obvious case. The Barton home, Archie.
Marble and old lace. The butler, his name is Pleasant, was among those missing. Among those present, Laura Barton, the old man's niece, and Wayne Stevens, his half-brother.
Ah.
Yeah, only for Laura. Stevens was not at all pretty.
It was Laura Barton who followed you here.
It was Laura.
Archie, go upstairs and...
Oh, now, wait a minute. The girl, the weather, common humanity demands that you have...
Louis, you speak for yourself, not humanity.
I'm human.
On occasion, a debatable point. Very well. Let her in.
Oh, thanks. Laura.
Yes?
Come in. Laura Barton, Mr. Wolf.
How do you do?
How much money do you inherit on the death of your uncle?
What?
That is known as a shock treatment. However, I need an answer.
Uncle isn't dead, is he?
That, for the moment, is irrelevant. How much?
Half his estate.
The other half?
Wayne, Uncle's half-brother.
Very well. Archie, would you go upstairs and inform Mr. Barton that his niece is here?
Uncle is here?
On my way.
Yes?
Archie, Mr. Barton.
Come in.
Mr. Wolf would like you to come downstairs.
I suppose he has a reason.
Mm-hmm. A blonde reason, your niece.
My niece?
That's right. Hey, where'd you get that?
A man of my wealth finds it safer to carry a revolver.
But it's not safe to point it at people, especially for the people.
Turn around, Goodwin.
But, Mr. Barton, we're protecting you.
By letting that girl into the house? If I had the time, I'd be amused. As it is!
Good heavens.
Santa Claus came early.
Your head.
Which one are you referring to, my own or the one Santa gave
me? You had better sit.
No, I had enough trouble getting up a little while ago. I'm staying out of any positions in which I might have to do that again. Mr. Barton is among the missing.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Hit me on the head and used the back exit. I checked with Fritz in the kitchen on the way here.
He offered a reason for his peculiar behavior?
Laura Barton.
So?
I don't understand. Uncle wouldn't do...
Uncle apparently has. He also would appear fancies himself in costume.
Well, he used to be very much interested in the stage. He acted for a while a long time ago till the family objected to...
Archie?
Got it. Nero Wolf's office. Archie Goodwin speaking.
You recite very nicely, Goodwin. This is Kramer. Let me have Wolf, huh?
Mr. Wolf? Inspector Kramer.
Yes, Inspector?
The papers haven't been carrying it, Wolf, but you're working on the Santa Claus case, aren't you?
Possibility?
You didn't send Goodwin down to headquarters on a possibility. Never mind. We're working on a line down here, Wolf. Now, look, if it doesn't strain your professional ethics, you might be able to help.
How?
There's a bank on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. We got the thought that suppose a gang was preparing to take that bank tomorrow morning. Those Santa Clauses have been on the corner for nearly a week now. They might have noticed something about the bank's routine, guards or what have you, that could interfere with the gang's plan.
A mighty ingenious and imaginative thought, Inspector.
Hey, you didn't say yes or no.
I have at the moment no opinion.
That's all you're going to give us?
At the moment. However, Inspector, in a very little while, I shall give you the murderer. Archie, Miss Parton will remain here. As for you...
Yeah?
You return to 34th Street and find our coffee-loving friend. Hmm? You will persuade him in whatever manner you think best to return here with you.
Huh?
Yes. You know, I think it possible you may be able to put that quarter on the expense account after all.
You.
What? Oh. Why? I've seen you before.
Yeah, I've learned to love the neighborhood. That's why it's going to break my heart.
What is?
Leaving it with you.
With...
It's sensitive about having guns pulled on me tonight.
Let go of me, will you?
Not until I...
I tell you that, McGill. Yeah.
Gun looks in a lot better shape than you do. You're coming with me.
Oh, where?
Mr. Wolf would like to see you.
Nero Wolf?
Yeah.
Well, why?
He's trying to salvage a quarter.
Archie.
Uh-huh. Complete with the... He wouldn't give his name. He did have a gun to it, though. This one.
Yes. Archie, you know Miss Barton, of course?
Hi.
And Mr. Stevens? He joined us a moment ago. Miss Barton thought she'd be happy if he were here.
Hello, Stevens.
That's not the only reason I came. My brother is still missing. I'm concerned.
Yes. You, sir, will you sit down? Watching people stand makes me uncomfortable.
I don't have to.
You do. Archie is stronger than you are.
All right.
That's better.
If you don't mind, Mr. Wolf, I've never been here before, never met you. But you look as though you could handle things. I think my brother's been kidnapped.
Possibility we shall have to consider. Miss Barton, perhaps you have a theory, too?
Well, I don't know. Uncle's been behaving strangely for weeks now.
In what way?
Well, I'm not sure. Wayne...
Well, of course, John's always been a little peculiar, but I'm afraid I saw nothing especially strange outside of this Santa Claus stunt, of course.
I see. Miss Barton, your uncle played Santa Claus all week on one of the corners of 34th Street in Carlisle.
I know.
On two other corners, two other men indulged in the same activity. Those two other men are now dead.
Oh,
well,
no.
Wait. Mr. Wolf, you mean they were killed by mistake? For Barton?
It is true that one man made up of Santa Claus looks very much like any other man similarly costumed. But the answer is no. One of the two men was shot in his home after he had removed his costume.
Well, then, what connection?
Miss Barton, in the event that you wanted to hide a tree, where would you hide it?
Hide a tree? Why, I wouldn't even begin to know.
If you were very clever, you would hide it in a forest. If you wanted to hide a murder and were very clever, you would adopt the same principle.
Wait. You mean that if someone wanted to kill Uncle and didn't want to be suspected, he'd...
Go about murdering several people with an ostensible, if lunatic, reason. He would, let us say, go about killing Santa Clauses.
I get it. Then people would think the man he really wanted dead for a special and private reason had been killed for something that didn't point to him.
True. That was why two Santa Clauses were murdered tonight. The third Santa Claus, however, the real object of the murderer's attention, was luckier. Or suspicious. He fled.
Ah, do I have to hang around here and listen to all this?
You do, my unwashed friend. Mr. Barton fled, and the murderer was in a quandary. He had, so to speak, invested in two murders merely to make the third one confusing. But he found himself unable to commit that third murder. He couldn't find his victim. Could he ask the police to do so? Hardly. But he might try to inveigle a private detective such as myself into the job.
That makes sense, Mr. Wolf. But why would my brother have deliberately fled from your house? I mean, he was protected here, so... But do I make myself clear?
Very clear, Mr. Stevens. Archie, that gun you took from the dirty gentleman, you still have it?
I still have it.
Then would you mind pointing it at Mr. Stevens here until the police remove him?
All right, come along, Stevens.
Well, that's the end of Mr. Stevens. Inspector Kramer will take good care of him from now on. But now, Mr. Wolf, Laura and me and the refugee from a washcloth over here would still like to know how and why and who was involved.
I knew two people had a motive for John Barton's death. Laura Barton and Wayne Stevens. One of them proceeded to kill Santa Clauses in the hope that the police would assume those killings to be the work of a lunatic.
The paper certainly hopped on that assumption.
Yes. However, John Barton, aware that his life was in danger, escaped his murderer and hid.
In this house?
No. A man in Santa Claus costume came here and said he was Barton. However, he was an obvious imposter. He proved that by his flight when his niece came here.
You mean he could fool you, but he knew he wouldn't be able to fool me, so...
Precisely, therefore, was not Barton. Who was it? Who else had disappeared at the propitious moment?
The butler, Pleasant.
True. I distrust coincidence. Stevens needed an accomplice, hence he sent Pleasant here.
And Pleasant would give you a song and dance about Barton's danger and then scram. You'd start investigating, discover Barton was missing, try to find him, and lead Stevens to his victim, huh?
I frustrated that part of the plan by insisting on Pleasant's remaining here, which he did until...
That part of it's fine. But how did you choose between Laura and Stevens?
It was Stevens who knew, without being told, that Barton had been in his house and had fled from it.
Yeah. You yourself mentioned that Stevens had only been here a moment, so you hadn't told him.
Obviously, the butler phoned him as soon as he had hit you over the head and escaped. Furthermore, the butler masquerading as Barton had attempted to throw suspicion on Miss Barton. That convinced me of her innocence.
Well, you've done it again, Mr. Wolfe, except for one minor detail.
You're not very successful at irony, Archie. What minor detail?
Where is Barton?
In this house.
Huh? When did that happen?
You arrived home with the gentleman sitting near you.
The bum? Wait a minute. This I ought to be able to figure out myself. Laura said Barton used to be an actor. That's item one, huh?
Yes, Archie.
Also, why is a supposed tramp hanging around a deserted intersection for handouts? The answer is he wasn't. He was keeping an eye out for trouble he knew was after him. Oh, so it turns out I gave a quarter to a millionaire.
Uncle? Your uncle? Oh, that is,
I know, my dear. Yes, I'm uncle. I did rather a decent job, didn't I? No one recognized me. Except, of course, you, Mr. Wolf.
Not recognition, Mr. Barton. Logic. Archie, open some beer for us.
Yes, sir.
Logic, eh? Well, whatever it was, Mr. Wolf, I owe you a good deal. How can I ever repay you?
Oddly enough, the answer is simplicity itself. Make out a check.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolf, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin and Howard McNear, Grace Lenard, Vic Rodman, Herbert Butterfield, Bill Johnstone, Gene Bates, and Bob Bruce. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Bashful Body. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
Concerning art, the value of a portrait does not always depend upon the artist. There's the model to be considered, especially when the model turns out to be a shocking still life.
The Private Files of Rex Saunders. Now for our story.
Portrait hung in the window of one of those little out-of-the-way art shops that helped give Greenwich Village its bohemian air. I was about to move on, but something held me to the spot. There was a strange fascination about the girl in the painting. She was uncommonly beautiful, but there was the unmistakable mark of doom on her. It was in the eyes, two bottomless black pools.
You think she's beautiful, don't you?
I turned and saw her standing next to me. She'd come out of the shadows unnoticed. She was cheaply dressed, and her face was partially hidden by a scarf she held to it.
Everybody thinks she's beautiful. You do too, huh?
You mean that portrait?
I mean the portrait, her.
Well, to be frank, it isn't her beauty that interests me exactly. It's the look about her.
The look of death.
Yes, that's just what I was thinking.
The artist called the picture The Passing Over. He was thinking of death.
You seem to be familiar with the work.
Yes, familiar. I come here every day to look at it. I come after it gets dark. I don't go out in the daylight anymore. I sit in my room. I sit and wait for the dark to come. I'm like something dead.
Well, you really shouldn't keep yourself cooped up like that. You're much too young.
Young and attractive. That's what you were going to say, isn't it? Something like that?
Yes, something like that.
Well, look at me, mister. Take a good look.
She lowered the scarf from her face and moved into the light. Her face, from the eyes down, was etched with a mass of ugly purplish-red streaks which drew her features into weird contortions.
Acid doesn't do pretty things to a face, does it? Like the ads, before and after. That was me before, that girl in the picture. This is me now, after.
I looked at the picture again. Then I saw it. The eyes. They were the same. She was the girl in the portrait.
That's one of the reasons I come here every night. And there are other reasons, too.
Oh, now, look, young lady, you've obviously been in a terrible accident, but that's no
reason. Accident? This was no accident. He threw it in my face. He thought that would keep me quiet. But it won't. When the time comes, I'll talk. I'll tell about him. Then I'll pay for what he did to me, every last one of them.
I don't understand. What is this?
Nothing. It's nothing. Forget it.
Well, maybe I can help. My name is
Rex... I don't
care
what your name is. I don't need any help. I told you to let me alone. Just let me alone.
She hurried down the dim-lit street. I waited a moment and then decided to follow her. She turned around and, seeing I was behind, quickened her pace. I quickened mine. Then she came to the corner. She turned again. She stepped off the curb. She didn't see the fast-moving auto coming towards her. Look out! The car stopped for a moment and then started up and disappeared into the darkness. I rushed to the corner. She was lying, face down in the gutter. She was dead. I did what had to be done. I made my report to homicide. And then Alec picked me up in the car.
Oh, where to, Rex?
4th Street, Alec, just off 6th.
Too bad she didn't hear your warning.
Yes, the car was almost on her by then.
What did you find out about her?
The police had a previous report. Her name was Betty Stark, an artist model. She was taken to Bellevue Hospital 6 months ago.
The acid burns on her face?
Yes, she was working for a painter named Philip Darcy at the time. Betty told the police that the accident occurred in Darcy's studio. She claimed that she was reaching for a bottle on the shelf and that the acid spilled over her.
But she told you someone threw it at her.
And I believe that to be the truth, Alec. No more an accident than her death was.
What? You mean she was murdered?
That's exactly what I mean. It was no hit-and-run accident. That car swerved in from the other side of the street and ran into her deliberately.
But what could the reason be?
That's what we're going to find out.
We might ask that artist, Philip Darcy, a question or two.
We might, but there's the simple matter of his being unavailable.
What do you mean by that?
Inspector Kelly at Homicide tells me that yesterday morning, Philip Darcy's body was found floating in the East River. The artist and the face-scarred model were both dead, murdered. There were no obvious motives. There was nothing to go on. But there was that strangely fascinating canvas which hung in the window of the village art shop.
Well, Rex, what do you expect to learn from a portrait?
Well, you can never tell. The shop's just down the block a bit. Here, right here. Come on.
Well, not a particularly impressive piece of art.
That's quite right, Alec. That portrait in the window there isn't nearly as impressive as the one which was in its place when I was here earlier.
Huh?
That's not the passing over.
It isn't Betty Stark's portrait?
No, it isn't. Wait here, Alec. I'm going inside.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
What is your pleasure?
Well, I had a portrait in mind.
The portrait?
Yes, sir. The portrait is called The Passing Over.
The Passing Over. I'm sorry, I've never heard of the painting.
Are you quite sure?
Quite sure.
That's rather odd. The portrait you're so ignorant of was hanging out there in your window less than 2 hours ago. It was replaced by the one that's hanging there now.
You're mistaken. You must have the wrong shop. That portrait in the window has been hanging there for more than a week.
I was sure the proprietor of the art shop had the answers to some of my questions, but I decided to wait for a more appropriate time to press them. I had Alec drive me around the block quickly, and we parked further along the street with the shop in good view. Then we waited. A few minutes later, the shop went dark, and the dealer came out with a large package, undoubtedly a wrapped painting, and got into a waiting cab. We followed the taxi through the narrow streets of downtown Manhattan. Then it turned south onto the East River Drive. And finally the cab pulled up in front of a deserted pier. There. He's getting out of the cab, Alec.
I wonder what he's up to down here.
Come along, Alec. Stay close to the wall here.
I don't like this. Heaven knows what sort of a mess this will get us into.
Heaven knows, Alec. Whatever it is, it can't be a... Wait.
What is it?
He's climbing down that ladder alongside the wharf.
There must be a boat waiting for him.
No, I can make it out down there. There's no boat.
Well, then why did he...
Hurry, before we lose him.
He's disappeared into the water.
No, don't be silly. There's a ramp at the bottom of this ladder. It runs under the pier. I'll go down first. Come on.
Here.
Watch your step.
What now?
We're going under the pier. And be careful. This ramp we're on is rather shaky. Ready?
Yeah, but most unwilling. Hey, it's awfully dark down here.
Yeah, but Alec, just watch your step and stay close behind me. Hold it, Alec.
What's wrong?
Look ahead.
It's a flashlight.
And there's another one.
Where?
Over there to the left, out towards the end of the pier.
They're both blinking on and off.
Signals.
Hey!
Pound, Alec! Rang out, we could see gun flashes spit from out towards the end of the pier. The flashlight nearest to us went out. Then we heard the engine of a boat start up and fade off up into the river.
You all right, Rex?
Yeah.
What's it all about? First the flashlight signals, then the shots.
I think I have a good idea what it's about. Come on, just up ahead a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we are. This is your answer, Alec. Look at him.
The art dealer.
Those shots found their target, all right. Here's his flashlight. Now we'll be able to get a better picture of what things are down here.
Look, there's the package he was carrying.
I get it.
The artist, the model, and now this dealer. They were all murdered because of that picture.
No, Alec, not because of this picture.
Huh?
See for yourself.
Why, that's the Mona Lisa.
Yes, Alec, and a very cheap reproduction at that. While Alec went to notify homicide, I searched the murdered man's clothes. As I was looking through his wallet, I heard a creak in the ramp board behind me. I turned quickly, but not quickly enough.
Monsieur Saunders, yeah, I finish with your sleep, n'est-ce
pas? Yeah. I suppose my waking up will have its disadvantages in this case. I take it I owe my eclipse to you.
Oui, monsieur. To me. It was necessary at the moment. Forgive me. I did not know who you are. Monsieur Rex Saunders.
Well, you won't hold it against me, hmm?
You make the joke.
Very badly.
We are brothers, monsieur. I am Marcel Jouvet. French sûreté.
Police?
Oui, monsieur. I see that for which you go to the dock this evening.
I was at that dock trying to track down a murderer. Frankly, I can't see where the French sûreté fits in that.
You are correct, monsieur. I do not seek murderer. It is the painting I have come to this country for.
What, the passing over?
Oh, no. I do not know of such a painting. I have come here to find the Renoir.
Renoir?
Oui, Renoir. An early work of the master. It was stolen from the museum at Lyon.
And you traced it here to New York?
Finally, monsieur.
Would you mean to tell me that the Renoir was in that little art shop on 4th Street?
I believe it was there. I was thinking, monsieur.
Yes?
Perhaps we two, working together, could meet success.
Perhaps we could.
Then it is agreeable?
Very well, monsieur Jouvet. It is agreeable.
Entire story is just too crazy to swallow.
Yes, but it's true, Alec. Jouvet is convinced that all three deaths are tied in with the Renoir.
How do you feel about it?
Well, in the absence of anything concrete, I'll go along with Jouvet. Hello? Oh, yes, Jouvet. Where? 21 Front Street, Brooklyn. Yes, I have that. We'll be there in half an hour. All right, Jouvet. Goodbye. Alec, bring the car around front. I'll be right out after I make a call.
What's up?
We're going to a warehouse on the Brooklyn waterfront. Jouvet tells me he's sure we'll get results there tonight, but there's one thing I'm not so sure of.
What do you mean?
The man I spoke to just now on the phone, I'm not entirely sure it was Jouvet. I called Jouvet's hotel. The desk clerk had some surprising information for me. Marcel Jouvet had checked out a few hours previous. The man who called me to meet him could have been Jouvet, but there was that margin of doubt in my mind. There was one sure way of erasing that doubt. See what the Brooklyn warehouse had to offer.
Rex, at the risk of sounding monotonous, I don't like this. Jouvet moves out of his hotel without notifying you, and then you receive that strange call to come here.
Yes, but as I said, Alec, the caller could have been Jouvet.
There's something radically wrong when you're not sure of things.
Well, we'll be all right, don't worry. The warehouse is over here. He says it'll be unlocked.
Well, this place is empty.
Well, wait to go upstairs.
What's supposed to be up there?
Jouvet said the answer to all our questions.
You stand where you are. One move for me to one of you get a back full of holes. Okay, now turn around. Slow.
He doesn't look a bit like Jouvet, does he, Alec?
Jouvet couldn't make it. He got a sudden call out of town.
In that case, I suppose we may as well leave.
Yeah, sure. You leave. My way.
That sounds unpleasant.
You won't feel it much. It goes fast. Did you ever see one of these?
It's a thermite bomb. I just pull this plug out and the joint goes up in smoke in no time, and you two nosy characters go with it. Now turn back the way you were. Go ahead, do what I said. Okay. Now over there to that door. You, open it. All right, inside, both of you. Don't knock yourselves out trying to rush this door. It won't work. It's got an iron bolt on the outside there.
It's kind of you to warn us.
Yeah, I'm nice that way. So long, characters. Here goes nothing. See you in the funny papers.
It was a miracle we got out of that trap alive.
No miracle. A simple telephone call did the trick.
A telephone call? But
after I found the Juve had checked out of his hotel, I phoned Inspector Kelly at homicide. A squad of his men had the warehouse surrounded when we arrived.
Well, that was a bright idea, to say the least.
I take it the inspector's men have our firebug friend well at hand.
No, Alec. As a matter of fact, let him slip through their fingers.
What?
Purposely. That's my special request. But he's being watched closely. I want him on the loose. He'll be of more help to us that way.
The report of the detective who was assigned to trail our would-be slayer had one particular item of interest to me. Subject visited Nagel Art Galleries at 9 a.m. So Alec and I hurried over to the Nagel Galleries. The marble halls were busy with the chatter of critics, dilettantes, lovers of art for art's sake. We made our way through the crowd, taking in each painting in the exhibit. And then I saw it.
Oh, what's the matter? Why'd you stop?
Well, that painting hanging to our right. It's the passing over, the portrait of Betty Stark.
Then we certainly came to the right place, eh?
We certainly were right. And I expected to find the right answer to all my questions. I had Alec take the picture down. We walked to the end of the main exhibit hall and stopped before the door where the gold letters spelled out Vera Nagel.
What do you mean by just walking in here? Who are you?
You're Vera Nagel.
I am. What do you want? Who are you?
My name is Saunders, Rex Saunders.
You will leave immediately or I shall have to have you forced out.
I have no intention of leaving, Miss Nagel, without getting what I came here for.
What do you mean?
A violent, ruthless killer.
This is an art gallery, not a rogue's gallery, or aren't you aware of it?
Miss Nagel, I am very much aware of the exhibit you have on display outside. One work in particular. I believe it to be the cause of three murders, perhaps even a fourth.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
In that case, I'll let the portrait talk for itself. Alec, show Miss Nagel what I mean.
Right.
What are you doing with that painting? How did you get it?
I took the liberty of removing it from the wall outside. Now, Miss Nagel, in your own expert way, you will please tell me the history of this painting.
You're insistent, aren't you, Mr. Saunders?
It is a habit of longstanding.
Well, it might interest you to know that I am equally determined.
At the moment, I can't see how you can afford to be.
Then in that case, suppose you look a little closer.
Oh.
And I know how to use this gun. In my own expert way.
Taking up where your man left off at the warehouse last night.
That's right. I'll finish what Sid left undone. Use this gun, Mr. Saunders, in my own expert way.
Taking up where your man left off at the warehouse last night.
That's right. I'll finish what Sid left undone.
I imagine gunshots would raise quite a racket among your clients outside.
I wouldn't think of disturbing my clients. This room is soundproof.
Oh, the lady thinks of everything, Alec.
Unfortunately.
In my business, you have to.
And I assume, Miss Nagel, that murder is a good part of your business.
When necessary. And at a time like this, it is most necessary.
You are all right, Mr. Saunders?
I'm all right, Jouvet. Jouvet?
I was in time. It is good, n'est-ce pas?
I suppose it's none of my business, but how did he get here?
I received Mr. Saunders' telegram to go to Chicago and meet him there.
You sent Jouvet a wire?
No, Alec. That wire must have been the sequel to the bogus phone call I received from Jouvet.
Oui. You are not in Chicago, Mr. Saunders, so I return.
And we almost forgot. What about Miss Nagel there on the floor?
Oh, I only shoot her in the shoulder. She will be all right. She's the one for whom you search?
She and an accomplice. We'll get him in due time.
Then they were responsible for the three murders?
All three of them.
But I still don't see a motive.
Well, it's quite simple. Betty Stark posed for this picture. From what she told me, I can judge that the acid was thrown in her face as a means of keeping her quiet. Well, that wasn't satisfactory, so she was killed by the hit-and-run car.
What about Philip Darcy?
Well, the artist was murdered to keep him quiet, too.
And Courtney, the dealer, for the same reason?
Yes, I'm sure for the same reason.
But why was their silence placed at such a high premium?
Well, I'll get to that in a moment, Alec. Jouvet.
Oui, monsieur.
There's still the matter of your tracking down the Renoir.
Oh, I will find the gate.
Well, you haven't far to look now.
You have for me a lead, monsieur?
I have something even better than that. This bottle. Now, watch this, Jouvet.
Uh-huh.
This should be of special interest to you. I rubbed some of the liquid from this bottle over a portion of the portrait, like this.
Monsieur, what are you doing?
There. Look, Jouvet.
Monsieur, I cannot believe what I see. It cannot be.
It is, Jouvet. It is your Renoir.
Yes, it was hidden beneath the portrait of Betty Stark.
Yes, Alec. And that's the answer to all of our questions. Darcy superimposed Betty Stark's picture over the French master.
But why?
Well, to make sure that the stolen Renoir was concealed until a safe and profitable sale was arranged.
And the murders were committed to make sure the secret was kept.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Renoir. Just look at that, monsieur. Just look at that.
Yes, Jouvet. It's a great work of art. You know, it brings another thought to my mind.
What's that, Rex?
I just happen to think of the picture the state is going to paint for Vera Nagel and her accomplice. It won't be pretty, but it's comforting to know that justice works with hard and bold strokes.
RCA Victor and its dealers from coast to coast have brought you the private files of Rex Saunders.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Nero Wolf, Rex Saunders, past episodes of this show, and everything else Relic Radio at the website relicradio.com. Find our Shoutcast stream there and a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the Relic Radio shows. Your donations make all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday. We've got episodes from Whitehall 1212 and Crime Classics on a brand new episode of Case Closed.